Let us open with a word of prayer before we get started today. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I give Thee praise, Lord, praise and thanks for who You are, and for who I am because of who You are. Thank You for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord God, for Your precious Son, who in obedience to Thee went to the cross at Calvary, shed His precious blood. And if I'd have been the only sinner in the world, He would have done it just for me. How wonderful that is. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Okay, now, the message I have for you today, well, the title is very simple. It's kind of up and down. You see what I mean when I announce it? And if I may say this, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but I really enjoyed doing this message and putting it together and watch it come alive before me. And I pray it will do the same thing for you. The title I've given my message is Heaven or Hell. Heaven or Hell. How simple is that, huh? One's up, one's down. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's get started. The title, like I said, well, it's very basic, it's very simple, and very, very to the point. And you will have the final say in response to this message. Not whether you like the message or not, but whether you believe it or not. That's what's important. Because sometimes when a preacher goes on a binge, you know, they say things that rub you maybe the wrong way, and you don't like to hear them. You like to think, well, I'm not that bad. Oh, I wouldn't sin that hard. Oh, no, he's putting too much into it. Well, I'll tell you, I only want for you, like myself, to be sure that when we close our eyes in this life, that we'll open them again in the presence of Almighty God. That's all. That's all I want. Okay? God bless you. Now, you see, like I say, you will have the final say, of course, okay? You will have the final say. Now, how does that really, really sound to you? How does it really sound? Oh, big deal, right? You, not I. Not your forefathers, not your mom or your dad or even your teachers or your work bosses or government officials. They will not have the final say in whether you are going to glory or you are going to hell. You have the final say. Now, isn't that powerful thinking? Hey, I can decide whether I'm going to heaven or hell. Well, isn't that great? I have the power to say that. We're not talking about power. We don't have any kind of power when it comes to the things of God. The only power I can imagine even is if we give our lives over to Jesus, if we believe in what took place at Calvary. If we go with that, there's power in the blood, in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, there is. Oh, yes. Oh, no, not I, not your forefathers, no, your teachers or government officials. You are the one who has to make the mistake. I almost said mistake. Well, if you're not there yet, you're living a mistake. But you're the one that has to make the decision. Sounds pretty good, huh? Well, hang in there now. I'm sure you're going to like this as we go along. What I'm saying is, when it comes to the salvation of your soul, then you are in control. Hey, isn't that a great feeling? I'll decide whether I'm going to heaven or if I'm going to hell, if there is such a place. First, you have to believe there is a heaven. Then you have to believe there is a hell if there is a heaven. You see, they go together but separate. Because you're either going to one or to the other. You're not going to just malinger out there in space until something better comes. No. When you leave this earth, you're either going to be in the presence of God Almighty or you're going straight to hell. Now, that's some hard talk, isn't it? What I'm saying is, when it comes to the salvation of your soul, then it's you, you, who are in control. You call the shots. Sounds pretty good, huh? If you call the shots, I mean, huh? Whether we admit it or not, it's up to us to decide between heaven and hell. It's really that simple. There's not a whole lot of, you know, well, I don't know, it's complicated, I can't understand, I don't know where I'm going, I have no idea. No, no, no. I'm telling you right now, because God laid down my heart to tell you this, you can decide. You must decide whether you want heaven in the presence of God Almighty or you are going to hell. You might say, well, hell probably isn't going to be that bad. We're not going, that's a whole new message, so we're not going there. Whether we admit it or not, it is entirely up to us to decide between heaven and hell. It's our decision. Tell me, which do you prefer? But before you decide where you will spend eternity, you must believe. This is important now. Before you decide where you will spend eternity, and it is your decision, you must believe there is such a place as heaven and hell. If you don't believe there is such a place, then, well, you're not going there. Oh, you go to hell, but you ain't going to heaven. Oh. First, let's deal with hell. Let's begin in Psalm 139, verse 8. That's a good place, yeah. Psalm 139, verse 8. David is calling upon the Lord, and he says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, David is acknowledging that God is everywhere, and that there is both a heaven and a hell. You see, God's not going to be in hell suffering hellfire, no. But don't forget, God made hell for the devil and his angels. And God is everywhere, so he knows what's going on wherever you may be. Okay? Heaven or hell. In Matthew 10, verse 28, the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In hell. That's the one you have to fear, and that's God Almighty. Are you fearful of God? Are you afraid of his mighty power? Well, if you are, then you must believe in him. And if you don't, well, one day you'll understand what he has written in his word is true. And it'll be too late. It'll be too late. In the book of Luke, Luke 12, verse 5, Jesus is preaching to, Jesus is preaching to the value of life, or preaching about the value of life to the multitudes. That's what he's doing. Jesus warns them. He says, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, who are we talking about? Fear him. We're talking about God, right? He's the one who has the power to allow you into glory, into heaven, or cast you into hellfire. Now, the choice is yours. It's that simple. It's your choice. Now, slip on over, if you can, to Revelation 1, verse 18. Now, once again, we have a warning. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That's a pretty stern warning, isn't it? Is there a hell? Oh, yes. Are you dying to find out? Oh, no, I hope not. Oh, so then why is there a hell? That's a good question. Why is there a hell? Well, rest assured now, hell was not made for any of God's chosen believers. No, not at all. On the contrary, hell was made for the devil and his angels. For the devil and his angels. Next question. Is there a hell? Is there really a hell? Well, here's what the Word of God says. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal. Sounds good to me. So good that I decided that's where I'm going. Life eternal. Not in a fiery hell. Now take fair warning. I tell you, if your name is not written down in the book of life, if your name is not in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. Heaven or hell? That's the title of my message. Heaven or hell? The choice is entirely yours and yours alone. Now, you can't say, well, I'll let my priest or my pastor decide for me. Well, you have to make the decision yourself. They can tell you all about it. But it's you that has to make the decision. You can't just say, okay, pastor, you pray for me that I'll go to heaven, okay? And then go back out on the street and live your regular life. No. It's your baby. You got to handle it. You got to walk with it, run with it. It's you. The choice is yours. But be forewarned. Unless you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are without any hope. You got that? Unless you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are without any hope. The deal is sealed. The deal is sealed. Check out Isaiah 58, verses 4 and 5. I love this one. By his stripes we are healed, which means that the living Son of God, because of his great love for mankind, left heaven's glory. Oh yes, to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world, of all mankind. That includes women too. Let us go back to the book of John briefly. John 14, 6 and 7. John 14, 6 and 7. When doubting, Thomas was a great doubter in the scriptures, right? Thomas doubted. Thomas needed reassurance. Like, if Jesus was standing on the street in front of you and said, you got to believe in me to go to heaven, would you believe him? No, you'd think you're some wacko, wouldn't you? It's up to you through prayer, through self-belief, in who Jesus is and what God is doing to save your soul. It's up to you. Thomas needed reassurance. What did Jesus say unto Thomas? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. By me. He went on to say, Beware lest any man spoil you. How? Through vain philosophy. Through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world. And not after Christ. Not after Christ. Tell me, how often have you heard people say, I believe that Jesus is the way to heaven, are there no other ways as well? Are there no other ways? Well, what does John 14:6 say? John 14:6, what does that say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you got that? No man, that means woman too, cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he follows up with this dire warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay? Are we getting there? I pray so. You know, we could stop right there. We could stop the whole message right there and rest easy in knowing that Christ, the Son of the living God, finished in complete obedience the will of his Father, which he did. But we're not finished yet. Hang in there, we're not finished yet. For the enemy continues to poison the thought patterns of mankind. Yes, he does. If you heard it once, you've heard it a thousand times. But surely there are other ways for the natural man to gain entry into the presence of God. I mean, the whole world surely isn't so corrupt and him so holy that we can't work something out. You think God's a politician? You can work something out with him? Hey, look, God, look, I'll do this or I believe in this if you'll just let me into heaven, okay? Hey, I can do a lot of work for you down there. I'll build new churches and you know, and till the land for the people and do lots of good works. Then you let me into heaven, will you? I mean, the whole world surely isn't so corrupt, eh? And him so holy, you think, that we can't work something out. And I say unto you, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's as simple. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, I underline, must be saved. Now, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, which means you are without hope. Which means you are going to hell. Can you earn your way? Can you earn your way? No. No. Or what about your being a good person? No. Not at all. It won't do it. Good deeds are just that. Good deeds. Unless they are prompted by your belief in Christ. You see, when you believe in Christ, you naturally, normally do good deeds. You help others where you can. And you try to lead them to the Lord if they're not already there. This is what he's talking about. Good deeds. They are like torches in the night sky. Unless they show you the way, they are without merit. In the book of Titus, the good book of Titus, we read, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his what? His mercy. Mercy, M-E-R-C-Y. Isn't mercy a wonderful word, a wonderful thing? And finally, we come to the end, which is endless. Endless. The most precious and needful gift of all, which can only be obtained by grace, that's God's grace, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The most recognized verse in the Bible, John 3:16. If you haven't heard it before, look it up, read it. Read it over and over and over. Tells you how to get to heaven. Tell me something. Would you sacrifice your only son so that others could be set free from their stain of sin? Would you? I mean, we're talking about people you don't even know, even your enemies, even those who would see you in hell. Would you? God did. Yes, he did. How wonderful is that? But that would be impossible for you. Why? Because the sacrificial lamb has to be sinless, like Jesus. And there ain't none of us who is sinless. There's none among us who is without sin. None. No, not one. Now, sometimes I allow my thoughts to wander, not too far, but beyond that which draws me into the political arena where daily living claims the preeminence, and the do's and don'ts of my faith are challenged. It's during such times that I claim my favorite scripture verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You've heard it before. This is the one I claim the most. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Which really means always be in an attitude of prayer. It doesn't mean you have to be on your knees 24 hours a day or whatever. No, but always be in an attitude of prayer. You see something amiss? Pray about it. You hear something that's wrong? Pray about it. Look at the world today. There's lots to pray about. Always be in an attitude of prayer. Which doesn't mean you ignore your family life and what other things you must do in this life. No, but the attitude is within. If you see someone get hit by a car when you're walking down the street, get in an attitude of prayer. Use that attitude of prayer that they'll be okay. Do you see where I'm going? Pray without ceasing. Friends say to me, you can't always be praying. How do you go about your daily work and chores if you're praying all the time? The key word here is attitude. Attitude. A strong fellowship with God. Have you got that? A strong fellowship with God. Even when you encounter that which may appear minuscule. Include him. Tell me something. Would you sacrifice your only son so that others could be set free from the stain of sin? Would you? Oh, I ask you that. Would you? He that has paid the price is greater and above any situation we may encounter. He is. He's your Heavenly Father. He cares about you. He wants to be at the head of all you do and say if you will allow him. If you ignore him, guess what? Then he will ignore you. And you will be lost to an eternal hell. But one thing he will never do is ignore your sin. God is too holy to ignore sin. He will not. He cannot. He will not. My friend, salvation of the soul is the deciding credential we must all possess to enter heaven's gates. God gives every believer the Holy Ghost sort of like a down payment of our inheritance. And the good news is there is no giving it back. Once saved, once the Holy Spirit indwells you, then salvation is final. You can't say, well, later on, well, I may come back, I don't need him anymore. No, it doesn't work that way. If you are truly indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that's the end right there. You are truly indwelt, you will always be. Because you are still in the flesh, yes, you will continue to sin. Oh, yes, you will, in measure. But when you do, the Holy Spirit will convict you. Hey, that's not right. You can't do that. And though you will grieve him from time to time, he will never, never leave you nor forsake you. You are sealed until the day of redemption. There may be a loss of rewards in your heavenly domain, but never, never a loss of salvation. How is it with you? Have you made the final decision? Are you sticking to it? Or have you just thought about it? Heaven or hell? Two places. When you close your eyes in this life, there are two places you will go to, one or the other. There's no intermediate place. You can't go up and hang on a cloud and wait for a while until everything clears away. No. Or a raindrop. Or even a teardrop. You can't. The decision you make while you're in this life is a decision that God will grab onto. And he looks upon the heart. He knows if you're trying to fool him or not. Be serious with God. He's serious with your salvation. I mean, after all, he gave his only begotten Son. Who would do that if they weren't serious? So the question still remains. How is it with you? Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? I want to thank you for listening today. I pray that something that was said will be what you need to hear, what you want to hear, what you were never sure about, and that you would get a grip on what God expects of you. He loves you. He loves you very much. Please, won't you think hard on these things today? Be sure of your salvation. Don't take a chance with it. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.